Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We'll read the whole chapter together. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O people, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, "O king, live forever. You yourself, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He responded and said to his high officials, Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, "Certainly, O king." He answered and said, "Look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. The appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw, in regard to these men, that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel to and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." And the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Amen. I like this story. It's, you know, we hear it all the time. If you grow up in the church, you know, you hear it as a child, you know, it's a Sunday school story. But I just thought there are some insights in here regarding just our, regarding really our work, you know, and how we perform our duties at work and stuff like that. So we'll just go through and point some of these things out. Right before chapter 3, at the end of verse 2, Daniel is promoted. He is promoted because he interprets, or he, king, the king has a dream and he can't remember what it is, and he's asking all the magicians basically to come up with, tell me my dream, and then the interpretation. No one can do it. He gets really angry. He wants to destroy everybody. Daniel comes up and says, this is your dream, and this is interpretation. And after that, the king is so impressed that he promotes Daniel to be, I think, one of the highest official. He made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And then what happens is Daniel then hires his three friends to be his next, you know, his right-hand men, basically. The three friends get hired as the right-hand men to Daniel. And then this whole thing happens with Nebuchadnezzar and the king. So what I think is, you know, maybe it was jealousy. You know, like, because it's interesting how it's just the three friends. I'm sure Daniel didn't bow down to the idol either. But the Chaldeans come forward only to accuse the three friends. So maybe for them it's like they can't touch Daniel because he's the chief high prefect, right? But they can do something about the three friends that got hired. And maybe, you know, they felt jealousy that these three people, just because they're friends of Daniel, have been hired. So they start accusing these three friends about not bowing down, worshiping the idol. Nebuchadnezzar is crazy, hey? He thinks, he says, "O peoples, nations, and men of every language." He's basically talking to the whole world and saying, you need to bow down to the one God that I have set up. And if you can think of the pride of this man's heart. So he makes that command, they get accused, and they go. If we go down to verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire.'" And this, I think, is really good. You know, we should never forget who we are serving, ultimately, right? They never forgot who they were serving, even though they were under the king. And really, if you look at Daniel's life, he's very, very loyal. He's very loyal to the one that has hired him. And he does all that he can to really bless the king who he's working under. And I mean, it doesn't really say specifically, but my guess would be that his three friends that were appointed to be Daniel's right-hand men also had the same heart to really bless the king and to really be a good servant, right, to the king that they were serving. But even though they were working very hard and being very good servants to the king, they never forgot ultimately who they were serving. And it says, you know, it says, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire." And so I was talking to our accountability brothers. It's just talking about work and stuff. And someone mentioned that if we go into work, but if we are focusing on promotion and we're focusing on getting ahead in the workplace, it gets very stressful, you know, because something doesn't go wrong. It's it's really stressful, and you need to figure out a way to be promoted and all that stuff. But one of the guys mentioned, you know, but yeah, I've been going to work, and my heart is to really just obey God, to be a witness of God to my work people and to my colleagues. And we pointed out that that would be a way to really have more joy and fulfillment in the workplace and not be so bogged down with the pressure of work and pressure of getting promoted and the pressure of performing, because our focus is not an earthly thing, but it's an eternal thing, and it's really an obedience and a service to the King of Kings, right? And so there's less stress, more joy. So they never forgot who they were serving. Then obviously King gets very angry, 7 times hotter than it usually is. Right, the furnace, and they send the 3 men. But if you look in verse 24 and 25, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He responded and said to the high officials, "Was it not 3 men who we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "Certainly, O king." He answered and said, "Look, I see 4 men loose and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the 4th is like the son of the gods." And what I really see here is that they got what they really, really desired. So they were high officials in the king's kingdom of Babylon, and they had all this position and power and whatnot. But what they really desire is to be in the presence of God. And here you see an angel with the 3 men. And it's interesting because they're all tied up. Their arms are tied up. Their trousers are tied up. They get sent into the furnace of fire, and only the ropes get burnt off. So they're free to walk about in the midst of the fire with the angel. If you can imagine what they are talking about, you know, they're walking about in the furnace with the angel of the Lord, basically rescuing them and keeping them from harm. And if you can just put yourself in those shoes, you know, and you're walking with this angel and saying, "Hey, you know, thanks for taking care of me. You know, thanks for saving me." And just, it's interesting. It's so cool. But what I want to say is they really got what they truly desired. Because their desire wasn't for position and promotion and just some kind of recognition or respect from men. They really wanted the stamp of God's approval upon them, because that's what they were doing. They were serving their God, and God sends it to them by sending this angel. So, you know, by being faithful to God, by serving God more than human bosses, what happened was they had to go through fire. But through the fire, they really saw, they saw an angel of God, and they were really near to God. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so as we obey and as we are pure in heart, we get to see God. And verse 29, you see Nebuchadnezzar saying, "Therefore I make a decree." So he's really impressed. He realizes God's the only one that can deliver. Says, "Nation or tongue, any people, nation or tongue, that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." So Nebuchadnezzar still doesn't get it. He's still prideful. He still thinks he's the man. And now he's trying to force everybody into believing in the God of Israel. He doesn't know yet that he can't force the gospel. But later on, he will see that. And then verse 30, King caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. So their first goal was to serve God. And then they went through fire, but later on, they still get promoted on this earth as well. So just a cool story where we can draw some points of. Really, the main point is that we don't forget who we're serving. We don't forget that our biggest boss, ultimate boss, is God himself. And as we stay faithful to him, we'll be able to see him. So let's just close our eyes. And Jisun is going to come and lead us in a song of worship. But let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come speak to us this morning. You know, we always say, when you're not here in Hong Kong just to get a job and just to make money and just to You know, just to live life. You know, God has brought us here for a purpose. He has put us in the workplace for a purpose. We're all full-time missionaries, disguised as whatever we are doing, to be his witness and to be his ambassador wherever we go. So we must not forget who our first boss is, our ultimate boss. And may the Holy Spirit give us strength. It's not easy. I mean, I'm sure it's not easy for you guys with all the pressure and the work. And of course, we have to perform and do well, but may the Holy Spirit give us the strength and the power and just the encouragement to be able to do our best and also to be able to trust Him in our workplace. Pray together for our group prayer focus. Let's pray for our church. You guys know this whole week we're doing the inner healing training in the evenings for some of us. Let's pray, please pray, and let's pray that God would really teach the 30-40 of us that's coming out to the training, that we will be equipped to do inner healing and to do deliverance and really be used by God to set people free for multiplication, right? And also along with that, please pray for the house churches, because a lot of the house church leaders are also in the training. So we have a few different house churches that have asked just the members to lead the house church and stuff. So I just pray that God would really be with the house churches. Today is Tuesday, so we have Seymour Road House Church and Star Street House Church. And if you know more, I can't remember what else. But let's pray for the Tuesday House Church, that God would really meet with them today, and for the inner healing training. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for kind of the Southeast Asia area. Let's pray for Cambodia. We'll be going back there in the summer. Let's pray. This church is called New Life Church. And please pray for the church. They're really stepping in, you know, by faith into making, you know, a CD this year. They want to have a worship CD out this year and kind of starting a movement, worship, you know, modern worship movement kind of thing. So let's pray for New Life Church. And Tony is the worship pastor in charge, so if you lift him up. And also obviously Pastor O, who is doing the work there, our contact there. And also let's pray for Philippines. We hope to go back there this year as well, in December again. So pray for Mr. Jang, Jihei's father, just for God's favor to be upon him with all the ministry that he's involved with. So let's pray for those two countries together. Lastly, let's pray for our building fund. Let's pray that God would really bless the fundraisers that we are doing, and just the whole process, that it will really bring the church together and that we'll be able to move in faith. So let's pray for the building, the move. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you just for the example we see in Daniel, Father. And we know that you are our Father. No matter where we go, you're with us and you hold us in your arms. And help us to always see you, God, wherever we're at, God. Whether at work, at home, you know, just to know that, you know, you we're living for you. And strengthen us, Holy Spirit. And we just thank you so much for this week. We thank you so much for life, God, and for your love for us. And we bless you, Father. Bless everyone that's here, God, today. Pray for, I just bless them with your presence, your protection, and just your nearness to them, God, as they go about their day. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.